Unit 3. Focus 1. Language Skills. Section 1. Model Passage Reading.
You set the pace, I will try to adjust to you. When I was growing up, I was embarrassed to be seen with my father. He was severely crippled and very short, and when we would walk together, his hand on my arm for balance, struggling not to lag behind, people would stare. I would inwardly feel embarrassed at the unwanted attention. If he ever noticed or was bothered, he never let on. It was difficult to coordinate our steps, his halting, mine impatient, and because of that, we didn't say much as we went along. But as we started out, he always said, "You set the pace, I will try to adjust to you." Our usual walk was to or from the subway, which was how he got to work. He went to work sick and despite nasty weather. He almost never missed a day, and would make it to the office even if others could not, a matter of pride. When snow or ice was on the ground, it was impossible for him to walk, even with help. At such times, my sisters or I would pull him through the streets of Brooklyn, New York, on a child's sled to the subway entrance. Once there, he would cling to the handrail until he reached the lower steps that the warmer tunnel air kept ice-free. In Manhattan, the subway station was the basement of his office building, and he would not have to go outside again until we met him in Brooklyn on his way home. When I think of it now, I marvel at how much courage it must have taken for a grown man to subject himself to such embarrassment and stress, and at how he did it without bitterness or complaint. He never talked about himself as an object to be pitied or insulted, nor did he show any envy of the more fortunate or able. What he looked for in others was a good heart, and if he found one, the owner was good enough for him. Now that I am older, I believe that is a proper standard by which to judge people, even though I still don't know precisely what a good heart is. But I know the times I don't have one myself. Unable to engage in many activities, my father still tried to participate in some way. When a local baseball team found itself without a manager, he kept it going. He was a knowledgeable baseball fan and often took me to Ebbets Field, where he would be absorbed in the Brooklyn Dodgers games. He liked to go to dances and parties, where he could have a good time just sitting and watching. On one memorable occasion, a fight broke out at a beach party, with everyone hitting and pushing. He wasn't content to sit and watch, but he couldn't stand unaided on the soft sand. In frustration, he began to shout, "I'll fight anyone who will sit down with me!" Nobody did. But the next day, people kidded him by saying it was the first time any fighter was urged to take a fall even before the fight began. I now know he felt he participated in things by watching me, his only son, do them. When I played ball poorly, he played too. When I joined the Navy, he joined too. And when I came home on leave, he saw to it that I visited his office. Introducing me, he was really saying, "This is my son, but it is also me, and I could have done this too if things had been different. Those words were never said aloud. He has been gone many years now, but I think of him often. I wonder if he sensed my reluctance to be seen with him during our walks. If he did, I am sorry I never acknowledged how sorry I was, how unworthy I was, how I regretted it. I think of him when I complain about trifles, when I am envious of another's good fortune, when I don't have a good heart. At such times, I put my hand on his arm to regain my balance and say, "You set the pace. I will try to adjust to you." What a good heart to lean on.
New words.
Adjust.
Embarrassed.
Cripple.
Lag.
Inwardly.
Notice.
Bother.
Coordinate.
Subway.
Despite.
Nasty.
Impossible.
Entrance.
Cling.
Handrail.
Tunnel.
Basement.
Marvel.
Subject.
Object.
Insult.
Envy.
Fortunate.
Proper.
Standard.
Judge.
Precisely.
Engage.
Activity.
Participate.
Local.
Baseball.
Manager.
Knowledgeable.
Absorb.
Memorable.
Occasion.
Beach.
Content.
Unaided.
Frustration.
Urge.
Navy.
Introduce.
Sense.
Reluctance.
Acknowledge.
Unworthy.
Trifle.
Envious.
Regain.
Proper nouns.
Brooklyn.
Manhattan.
Ebbets Field.
Brooklyn Dodgers. Section 2. Listening and Speaking. Listening. 1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
What a heavy snow! We'll have a white Christmas, I think.
I'm afraid that Jane and I will have a busy time again pulling you on our sled.
Yeah, I'm sorry that these days I can't adjust to your pace as usual.
Why don't you ever ask for leave on such bad days when some of your colleagues do?
Well, I'd rather take all the trouble to work as a normal man with a sense of pride than be taken as an object to be pitied or insulted.
But why?
You're too young, but you'll know the reason when you have grown up.
But I've already grown up, and in less than 3 months, I'll be 15 years old.
Well, I'm glad that you are thinking like that. Listen, son, a real man can never lose his pride, no matter how hard life is for him. Otherwise, he is good for nothing, and people around him will think little of him.
You mean you try to have pride in yourself all the time?
Yes. It's my pride that I get to work punctually despite the nasty weather. It's my pride that I never miss a day of work, even when I am sick. It's my pride that I have such a good son like you to help me to work day after day and year after year.
I see, Dad.
Two. Listen to a song twice, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
I should have known all along there was something wrong. I just never read between the lines. Then I woke up one day and found you on your way, leaving nothing but my heart behind.
Now listen again, please.
I should have known all along there was something wrong. I just never read between the lines. Then I woke up one day and found you on your way, leaving nothing but my heart behind. What can I do to make it up to you? Promises don't come easy, but tell me if there's a way to bring you back home to stay. Well, I promise.
3. Listen to a passage twice, and then decide whether the following statements are true, T, or false, F.
The story Father and Son tells about the relationship between a father and his son. They lost their wife or mother, and father and son aren't able to cope with this situation. The son doesn't talk to his father because he hates his father for having less courage than a mouse. The father loves his son because he seems to be the only one who is left. Therefore, he is worried about his son all the time, because he doesn't know what he's doing all day long. His son isolates himself by locking the door to his room, because he believes that his lousy father isn't strong enough to help him with his problems, which are not explained. What becomes obvious is that he feels threatened as well, and therefore has a gun under his bed. And this attitude towards his father seems to be understandable, because his father feels threatened too. He fears to be attacked and takes a lot of sleeping pills. Both father and son are ill, physically and mentally. The father wants to talk to his son, wants to put his arms around his shoulders, wants to make him feel at ease, but he is unable to, because his son hates him, which breaks his heart.
Now listen again, please.
The story father and son tells about the relationship between a father and his son. They lost their wife or mother, and father and son aren't able to cope with this situation. The son doesn't talk to his father because he hates his father for having less courage than a mouse. The father loves his son because he seems to be the only one who is left. Therefore, he is worried about his son all the time, because he doesn't know what he's doing all day long. His son isolates himself by locking the door to his room, because he believes that his lousy father isn't strong enough to help him with his problems, which are not explained. What becomes obvious is that he feels threatened as well, and therefore has a gun under his bed. And this attitude towards his father seems to be understandable, because his father feels threatened too. He fears to be attacked and takes a lot of sleeping pills. Both father and son are ill, physically and mentally. The father wants to talk to his son, wants to put his arms around his shoulders, wants to make him feel at ease, but he is unable to, because his son hates him, which breaks his heart. Speaking, reference answer.
What is on your mind, son? You look so sad.
It's my camera. It fell onto the ground when I was taking pictures.
You broke it?
Yes, and I need a new one. Can you buy me a new one?
Perish the thought. It's the third time you have asked me to buy you a new camera.
But this time, it was not my fault. It was an accident.
You don't deserve a camera. You've already broken two.
I need a camera, not for myself. My interest group needs it. You don't want me to let my group down, Father.
Okay. In this case, I can buy you a new one, but you need to promise me something.
You can count on me.
First, use it very carefully. Never break this new one.
I promise you never to break it.
Second, can you be sure not to lose it?
I give my word not to lose it.
Third, can you promise me not to take it off campus?
I assure you, I won't take it off campus.
Then, if you guarantee all these conditions, you can have my permission and the money for a new camera.
I agree to these terms. I won't disappoint you, Father. Credit card, or cash.
Focus 2. Language Use. Section 1. Practical Reading.
The genetic crystal ball. Do we really want to look? The clear liquid in the laboratory test tube seems ordinary enough, rather like a thick form of water. In one sense, it is ordinary, but in another, it represents perhaps the greatest medical breakthrough of all time, the key to life itself. The liquid is deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA, the spiraling molecule found in each cell of the human body, the molecule that contains the blueprints of our being. In medical terms, the human body is composed of some 100 trillion cells, most of which contain a nucleus of 23 pairs of chromosome. One of each pair comes from each parent. Each of these chromosomes is packed with DNA,parts of which are called genes. Genes guide the production of proteins, the building blocks of the human body. If genetics sounds complex, and it is, the social implications of understanding genetics are no simpler. Scientists have known about DNA since 1952, but now an intense program is underway to map our genetic landscape.The ambitious goal of the Human Genome Project is nothing less than to understand the operation of each bit of DNA. In essence, to read and understand the computer program that drives our existence. Early results suggest the task is enormous, but they are also very promising. And so here lies the greatest question of all. Do we really want to learn the secrets of life itself?Many scientists offer strong support for the Human Genome Project. They hope for a completely new approach to medicine in the future. Rather than treat symptoms, doctors would address the basic cause of illness. Research, they point out, has already identified the genetic oddities that cause some forms of cancer, sickle cell anemia, muscular dystrophy, Huntington's disease,cystic fibrosis, and a host of other crippling and deadly conditions. In the next century, with information from the genetic crystal ball, screening will allow us to identify people who are likely to develop serious illnesses, and doctors will be able to change segments of DNA to prevent diseases before they start. But many people, both within and outside the scientific community,urge caution in pursuing such research. The problem, they claim, is that no one is sure how genetic information should be used. At its worst, genetic mapping opens the door to Nazi-like forced birth regulations and efforts at breeding a super race. It seems inevitable that some parents will seek to use genetic testing to evaluate the future health or even the eye and hair color,of their unborn child. Should people be permitted to abort an unborn baby that fails to meet their expectations? Or, further down the road, when genetic manipulations become possible, should parents be able to design their own children? Then there is the issue of genetic privacy. Should a soon-to-be married person be able to request a genetic evaluation of her fiancé before agreeing to marry? Should life or health insurance companies be allowed to demand genetic testing before writing policies? Should a corporation be permitted to evaluate job applicants in order to weed out those whose future illnesses might use up all their health care funds? Clearly, what is scientifically possible is not always morally desirable. Our society is already dealing with questions about how to use the ever-expanding knowledge about human genetics. These morally challenging situations will only mount in the years to come, as genetics research answers a lot of more questions about how our bodies work.
New words.
Genetic.
Crystal.
Liquid.
Laboratory.
Tube.
Ordinary.
Breakthrough.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
Spiral.
Molecule.
Cell.
Contain.
Blueprint.
Compose.
Trillion.
Nucleus.
Chromosome.
Pack.
Gene.
Protein.
Genetics.
Complex.
Implication.
Landscape.
Ambitious.
Genome.
Essence.
Existence.
Promising.
Symptom.
Basic.
Oddity.
Cancer.
Sickle.
Anemia.
Cystic fibrosis.
Century.
Information.
Screening.
Develop.
Segment.
Caution.
Pursue.
Claim.
Force.
Regulation.
Effort.
Breed.
Inevitable.
Evaluate.
Permit.
Abort.
Expectation.
Manipulation.
Privacy.
Fiancé.
Insurance.
Corporation.
Applicant.
Weed.
Fund.
Desirable.
Ever expanding.
Mount.
Proper nouns.
Huntington.
Nazi.